Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love His ways, I love His will, I love God's purpose as He reveals it to me. You know, today I'm going to talk about the goodness of the Lord. You know, there are scriptures that talk about how, like the parable of the pearl of great treasure, you know, man found a treasure and a pearl in the field, and then he went and he took everything he had and went and bought that field, and then he had that treasure too. See, the things of God, you're gonna have to. He's good. When you treasure His word, like people treasure pearls and gold and diamonds and precious stones and good situations, when you treasure the word, when the word becomes your treasure, you're going to find out firsthand about the goodness of God. God is good, and His ways are good. His ways are perfect. He thinks of everything. You know, when the Lord gave me words years ago, and He showed me the condition of the church, what He wanted to do. And people have to get on board with Him. When He speaks His word, it's our job to embrace it, to receive it, treat it like a treasure. And the way we receive a treasure is the way we ought to receive God's word more so. But when it's that way, when you receive God's word better than a man receives a treasure, and you, I've seen people do this. My pastor did it. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland. He did it. When you receive God's words as a treasure, and you believe it as a treasure, and you act on it as a treasure. Now, when I first started listening to Kenneth Hagin, he was a great man of God, 20th century prophet. And he taught us faith. He showed us intelligently. He intelligently showed us the way to go and how to use our faith. And I'll be forever grateful for him. Not only him, but those that obeyed him. All of these wonderful men of God that took time and treasured God's word, they became a treasure themselves. Now, when I listened to Kenneth Hagin, I was listening to him on the radio. And in those days, I had my first business. I didn't have a lot of money to work with. I didn't buy the tapes and books. I rarely sent an offering at that. But I listened because the Lord was training me. And he was, in 87, he called me to the ministry when I started preaching and ministering in 87 and 88. As a minister, Kenneth Hagin was more like what God was teaching me firsthand. See, I come out of that holiness church and a Methodist church, and I had to learn some things. Everything wasn't, I was learning. And when he called me to the ministry in the spring of 87, I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel qualified at all. It's not that I wanted to preach, but when I found out that he'd give me a message, that's when I became interested in ministry. And I already wanted a relationship with the Lord. So when I had to preach, I took it very serious. And I would listen, and the Lord would give me what to say. And I said, to keep from making things worse, I would only say what God gave me, no more, no less. And that's the only way I could be assured that I was doing a perfect work. Because I really didn't know the word like I wanted to. Or I knew a lot about it. I had been studying what Jesus taught. But I didn't know, like other ministers, like Elder Lewis, I didn't know the things that they knew. I asked a lot of questions. And I was a student. And I applied myself in that area. But when the Lord was using me, He would give me things in a systematic way. It helped me receive more light, and then as I received more light, I saw the error of teaching that would normally be received. You know, things that God really didn't say, but people preach it in the name of the word. And so Kenneth Hagin really helped me with that because he was balanced like that. And he taught, he was teaching what the Lord was trying to get over to me. He was already he was already skilled. I was not skilled. So I treasured his word, not only his word, but Frank Matchin and local pastors, Frank Matchin, Scott Webb, many others, and then on ministers that were on in other states, Charles Capps. I used to listen to Charles Stanley sometimes. J. Vernon McKee in the afternoon, of course, but I used to listen to these wonderful men of God on the radio. Lynn Lawson, he was the pastor of Gardendale, Full Gospel Church in Gardendale. And I learned a lot from people that was doing the same thing. They were endeavoring to know God and learning his ways. I treasured those things. But I didn't buy the books and tapes like I wish I could have. I just didn't have the money. And if I did, I probably would have prospered faster. But nevertheless, I got to where God was going. He was taking me. But this is the thing I wanted to point out. When my pastor heard, somebody gave him the book Authority of the Believer. And he went and bought all the books. He treasured it so much, he bought all the books and studied. Then he went to Rhema. And he trained in the Lord. Sometimes, if I go to the church, he's training. He's listening to the healing scriptures. He does what Kenneth Hagin said. Now see, there's a scripture said, if you listen to the prophet, you prosper. He didn't deviate from the things that he was taught. So when you treasure the word, that's what you do. And you become promotable. And the people you bless become promotable. As we are, that's the kind of seed we sow. But when we follow God, he refines us even more. So I thank God for that. So God's goodness, it goes back to God's goodness. Kenneth Hagin, I followed his ministry, and things went kind of slow until he got the revelation of Ephesians. And when he got that revelation of Ephesians, he already came off a sick bed. You know, what happened to him, that's not normal. He believed God on a sick bed. That is not easy. Especially when you don't have a network of people telling you, encouraging you to get to know the Lord. But he just went by the word. That's all he had. And the Lord delivered him. And so he taught what he learned, but his ministry took off after he got the revelation of the Ephesian prayers. In chapters 1, 2, and 3. Those Ephesian prayers, he started praying them, doing them, and believing them, confessing them, and it works. Now, when you do that, you involve God. See, the word of God works is because God has good intentions. In the first place, he gave us his promises, principles, and abilities so that we can be like him. And I love it. You know, the wisdom of God. Satan picked this fight. He said, I will ascend above the stars. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm going to look at the scripture this time. You know, Satan wanted to take over. He wanted the praise to go to God and the power of God. And because he was beautiful and God had made him so wise, he thought he could pull it off. And he really still does. You know, proud people don't learn much. They diminish in their ways because they're not serving. He's a taker. It says, this is Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? You know, He's fallen. People that are falling are continually falling. They don't stop falling. It's a continual fall. He's falling. He's fallen. The word says he's fallen. Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now he said it in his heart. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And that's five ascensions he's talking about doing. And it's not going to work because he's fallen. But look at what God gave us. He said, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion. And then when Jesus died, he gave us the same commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're gonna do what God told Adam to do in a greater way. Because what Jesus said will win souls. What God told Adam to do would have protected everything. The earth, the people, the animals, all of it. So we're going to win souls. And we're going to do good along the way. And then we're going to present this earth. You know, Jesus, we want Jesus to find faith when he comes. We don't want to be like that barren fig tree. Now, God is too good for that. When he comes to take me home, I want him to find faith in me first. And I want to be bearing fruit. And I want to leave this world in a better condition. You know, a ministry and as a person, every person has a ministry. They have a part to play. If we fulfill our part, the whole earth will be better off. See, you got to learn to evaluate like God does. When I want him to come and find me working in faith, producing fruit, so that it would have been better if I was born. Now, some people in a fallen state, they make the whole earth worse than it was, because they continually go around and do the wrong things. They speak evil words. They sow discord. The whole earth would have been better without them. But God loves us so much. His goodness is so great that he wants to save everybody possible. And while they're operating according to the course of this world, they do just like Pharisee Saul did. But look what he became. He became Apostle Paul, who wrote a great portion of our New Testament. Taught many things. Gave us something. The world is better off because Jesus saved Pharisee Saul and he became Apostle Paul. The whole earth is better off. Also, I mentioned Kenneth Hagin, Frank Matchin, Scott Webb, Lynn Lawson, you know, local pastors of the 80s and 90s. And they were on the radio. That's how I knew about them. And there are many others that just wasn't on the radio doing good works. But guess what? For each one of those men I just named, and my pastor, Pastor Jim McCann, the third and the fourth, the whole earth is better off because they're doing the work of God. See, every time you plant the seed of God's word in people, it helps them live. And it helps their character. It helps their advice, their ability to give good advice. Sometimes people say, well, I don't think I give much advice. Think about it. Over the course of your life, you're living the word of God that you love. Now, people see you, and sometimes people are asking you a question and you're answering it. You may not think anything of it, and the Holy Spirit can cause you to say precisely what they need at the right time, and you may not be aware of it, and people don't come back and tell you often. Every now and then somebody will say something you said, you will have forgotten all about it. But they went forward and built their lives. And all the people that they helped was because you gave them that ability through the Word of God. This is the power of the Word. This is the power of the Word. Lucifer spoke words, and he fell. We speak the Lord's words, and we build life. Lucifer, he wanted to see. If you're just looking at natural things, you know, he wasn't talking about clouds. All right, his first ascension, he will ascend into heaven, which means he's going to be the best there is where he was at. If he had to ascend into heaven, he was on a planet, of course. So he's going to overtake that. And then I will exalt my throne above the stars. Now he's going to endeavor over time to take what's in the heavens. Then he said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now that's the meeting place where the sons of God go meet and present themselves before the Lord. He's going to exalt himself over that. Then there's another realm above that, the heights of the clouds. See, there's clouds above the stars, see. I've never been there. I'm going by what he said. Because he said that, you know, if you think like a proud person, they always want to get to the precipice. Always. They can't rest till they overtake something. These are realms that he could see and understand. And he's going to exalt himself. Then he said, I will be like the Most High. As I studied these, I said, it really don't make sense. Okay, I will ascend into the heaven. Okay, well Bud Aldrin did that when he went to the moon. But that's not what Satan was talking about. I will exalt my throne above the stars. See that? His throne. He wanted to be greater than what God gave him. He had a jurisdiction. He was already an angel at cover, which means he had some authority. I don't know what the scope of his realm. I assumed that the planets in our solar system is what was his jurisdiction. Now, that's just an assumption. I forgot why I believe that, but that's what I've always understood. And the fifth planet got destroyed. So I wasn't there. I can't be dogmatic. I'm just telling you what I prayed about these things, and as the Lord gave me conversations and I learned, this is why I ended up believing those things. But he's come, you know, he's trying to exalt himself over realms. He's trying to be over people and angels. You know, in God's house, there are celestial beings such as angels, and there's terrestrial beings such as man. And there was a society on earth before God made Adam. It's referred to in Genesis 6. See, you can't disqualify what was, because it said that the giants, they were like men of old. So the people of old in the generation before Adam was probably like the giants, but they would have been holy. They wasn't unholy. As I understand holiness, you know, the Lord gave me a dream one night about them. I saw what they're capable of anyway. And this was the society that the earth had to be judged. So they got judged. I don't know how, I mean, they were wise. They were like, they were much smarter than we are. But I saw this. I saw it in a dream. The Lord gave it to me. Now, those kind of things, I believe, it satisfied my curiosity. It had a purpose. There was a purpose in me knowing what God showed me. But I can't go beyond scripture in how I teach. I can just, you know, the Lord brought that to me. He showed me something, and I saw what existed. I saw the way they built their house. But what I'm saying is this. When God shows you something like that, it's true. All right. But trying to convince people of it, you know, do that by the Holy Spirit. Because there's no reason for God's people to say, well, I don't believe it that way. And, you know, love receives all things. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And every time he does, you have to treasure that word. And let allow the scriptures to say what they say. Don't be afraid if the scriptures actually mean something different than how you took it in the first place. Because scripture interprets scripture. There was a time people taught that a lot of good, wonderful men of God believe that Genesis chapter 1, all of it was a creation chapter. Actually, the only verse that is a creation verse is Genesis 1 and 1. Everything else was a restoration. I can prove it. On the fourth day, he turned on the stars and the sun and the stars. He didn't make them. He turned them on. He turned them off. Just like he did when Jesus comes. He's going to turn them off again. All of them. He's going to darken the whole universe. Just like he did at Lucifer's flood. When God does judgment, see, there's a consistency if you know where to look. He don't want people watching when he do judgment. He told Lot and his wife and two daughters to go. The angel said, don't look back. Now, God didn't darken the sky. They had to not look back. They could have saw what was happening because you're going to see fire. Lot's wife looked back and turned to salt. So when God does judgment, he turns off the sun and the stars. Because that's how it's better that way. When God do something, it's well organized. It's holy. And God can do that. He can take the light off the sun and keep the heat just like he did. It didn't say the earth was frozen. It said darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it wasn't frozen. It wasn't. The sun existed. You would have had ice instead of water. You didn't have ice. You had water. So, see, ice is a solid. Water is deep. It's a liquid. If you allow the word to say what it's saying and treasure it, then the Holy Spirit can clue you in. And there are many things he clued me into, but if you teach somebody something at the wrong time, it can start an argument. They can lose. It can confuse them. And Paul said we're stewards of the mysteries of God for that reason. That's one of the reasons anyway. God wants to give his information to people that can receive it and embrace it and operate in it by faith. The Lord also taught me this. The more you learn, the more he has to hold you accountable. So the Lord thinks of everything. His goodness is for us. And he protects us. He gives us his word in a systematic way that we can receive it. Some people are not sanctioned to know some things at certain times. And especially proud people. When I'm around proud people, God just, he goes silent. I don't have anything to give. But when I'm around people that's hungry, I have something. God give me more. Especially when it's their time to learn. Sometimes God is working with people. And they need the right information at the right time. We all do. God is good, folks. The Holy Spirit manages what happens. There's a lot of things I want to tell my wife that the Lord taught me. But until it's the right time, I can't. There's a lot of things I want to tell my friends. But people that are hungry to know God, that treasure the word, sometimes you can tell them. Not saying that others are not. Sometimes people are concerned about what's going on in their life right now. They're trying to get healed or they're trying to get a problem solved. And their focus is on that. But when you're free in the Lord, it enables you to learn so much more and so much faster. Because love believes all things. the people, the men and women of God that blessed me in all those years, you know, they are they're still blessed. You can see the fruit of longevity on their lives. Some of them, you wouldn't know how old they were by the way they operate. But God is, you know, we need to pray. People that have been a blessing to the world, an asset. People that have been a blessing all these years. We need to pray for their bodies to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, you don't have to leave your home to do a great work. You can sincerely pray for people and break through for them so God can give them health and long life. And a lot of, see, when we operate like a body, when we operate like a body, we're not operating like Satan. When we're operating like the body of Christ, we can't operate like Satan. And we can't do the things of God with a satanic mind. Some people will say, well, I want to be in charge like that. I want to be on the stage preaching all the time. And if I pray for them, I need to be praying for me to do it. Well, just be faithful with what God gives you. That's where you're going to be more effective. But if you were on the stage and you're not trained, and even if you were, you don't have that personality. The revelation that it takes to do. See, whatever God give, whatever grace He give you, is you have to receive revelation from Him and training so that you can continue it. It don't just, we don't walk around qualified for everything. If whatever God give you to do, that's what you need to, that's where you need to plant yourself in, and that's where you need to be steadfast and unmovable. At your local church, do whatever you can to help. And then in your personal life, whatever God ministry God give you, make it happen. Don't fail. Because I can't do what others do. I wouldn't do it like they looking at, they know what they're doing. If God give you a TV ministry, you know, you have to be prepared for that. It's not just up there preaching the word. That's all you see. There's administrations. You have to know finance. You have to counsel the people. You have to, all the people that need counsel, you got to make sure they're counsel. You got to find ministers that's not hirelings, that share the same. Managing everything and preaching the word. You're not like a man like Creflo Dollar or Andrew Womack, Kenneth Copeland. They have to manage other things. I put it this way, and this is the same way for everybody. I'm an entrepreneur. All right, that means that you're a businessman and do everything. I'm a sole proprietor. My business, so I have to fix the cars, go get parts, keep the books, manage what I fix and when. Keep my schedule, keep my appointments. And that is not easy. That is not easy, especially if I take something that takes a long time to fix. So, it's not just what you see people do on TV. I can preach like that. I can say this. It don't work that way. They are trained and prepared by the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to learn to follow God. And there are other ministries God needs to get in the cracks where theirs don't go. See, the people take the word we learn to the workplace, to the schools, to the courts, even to the capital, local and federal. See, then the people at the baseball diamond, friends at your golf club. You know, wherever you go, you take the word with you. Now, sometimes people they may have opinions against some of these men of God. But see, the word, they might, let's say, they may not like Kenneth Copeland or Creflo Dollar. But you got the word from them. The word works. They don't know them personally. They're going by what some joker said. They don't know them either. Because the way of truth is evil spoken of. I've heard evil things about all these wonderful men of God. But see, I've been partaking from what they see, and I know they're true men of God. And eventually the enemy's going to do something to make somebody look bad, hearsay or slander. That don't mean nothing for Satan and his bunch. But see, the word of God is what stands out. And the principles you learn from people, they work. And sometimes I've seen this happen. People will receive what you learn from somebody they may not even like. In this world, all kind of things happen. You got to go back. Why did God put it that way? Why did God tell Adam, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the earth? He did it because he's good that way. His goodness is why he did it. God gave Adam his best knowledge. If you want to know how God created all them stars you see at night, you got to look at what God told Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Adam was supposed to make the whole earth look like the Garden of Eden. He gave him a sample. He said, this is what you do with your love. I said, Lord, you told him to do all those five things, but you didn't say love. He said, son, all he understood was love. God just showed him what to do with it. When we receive Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and I give power unto you. Again, he delegated us instructions so we'll know what to do with all that love we got from him. Consider these things. The goodness of God is a lie. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. God is